Hello everyone, it's Father Jim. We're reaching the third of the four Sundays of Advent. I'm thinking of gardening and farmers and people who till the land. When I was a priest in the centre of London, the local children had never seen a cow. They thought milk was in plastic cartons. They'd never seen an orange tree. They'd just buy things at the supermarket and never give a thought for the people, sometimes with almost slave labour, come from various countries to pick the fruit. No wonder raspberries are expensive. I mean, they're very labour-intensive, especially maybe as people eat as many as they pick. I went strawberry picking for fun once for 2 hours. Gosh, put me back out, bending over. People buy Christmas flowers without realising in the Scilly Islands people are more or less doubled up because they're bending over picking daffodils all the time. During the war in England, there was the slogan, "Lend a hand on the land," and there was the land army. A lot of girls went to the country and worked so hard to turn England into a fruitful place. So much land was taken up for food instead of just parks. So I'm thinking of people, farmers, who need great patience. And the first reading of Isaiah is a promise that the wilderness and the dry lands will rejoice because they'll have flowers. Israel is a shattered landscape, really. It's covered in stones. And over the centuries, people have picked up stones, and they've had to water the place and dig it and dung it and sow it. Among other things, I'm the gardener at the college here, and I know what it is that you only get out of Mother Earth what you put into it. Compost, very important. Give Mother Earth something. But there isn't such a thing as instant crops. Okay, mung beans in a jar you might be able to eat after a few days, but most things take time and work and patience. So the hope that the world will be fed is resting with FAO, the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization in Rome, that people will send seeds, that people will love those who produce fruit, so that people in supermarkets will give a thought for all those who've worked so hard. So let's pray with gratitude for those in agriculture who are often totally underpaid, that we'll be grateful for their work so that we won't be hungry. And let's give a special thought for those who are hungry. In England we have a group called CAFOD, and I must say, twice a year there are fast days and people put the money they saved from not eating towards world projects, not just to send food but to help people to produce their food. And the other thought I had about this Thirst Sunday is what our Lord says about John the Baptist. What did you go out to see with somebody who's preparing the way of the Lord? Do you want somebody in fine clothes? Somebody in palaces? No, you went to see a prophet. And all of us, if we're going to be like John the Baptist, we're prophets. We're speaking God's word to people. And maybe we might get the same treatment as John the Baptist, who confronted Herod about his canoodlings. People don't like to hear truth. If somebody sheds light on shady places, you either kill the person carrying the light or at least you shoot out the torch so they're not shown up. And so the church and anyone with our Lord's message won't always be loved, because he is the light of the world coming into our darkness. And people doing shady things in shady places don't like to be shown up. Let's ask that the Lord, who is light, and the prophets in the world, who have always been persecuted, even by their own churches, will be steady and steadfast, and like John the Baptist, pass on the message that they've been given. And then we'll see those without sight having insight. Those who feel crippled are able to stand tall again. And those who are dead will have eternal life. For some of you, this Christmas is going to be sad because you're mourning. So I'd like to end with a dear little poem about the care given to the dying, but the hope that the dead person is now having a super Christmas this year. It's called The Death Bed by Thomas Hood. We watched her breathing through the night, her breathing soft and low, and in her breast the wave of life kept heaving to and fro. So silently we seemed to speak, so slowly moved about, as we had lent her half our powers to eke her living out. Our very hopes belied our fears, our fears our hopes belied. We thought her dying when she slept, and sleeping when she died. For when the morn came dim and sad, and chill with earth early showers, her quiet eyelids closed. She had another morn than ours. Amen.